Welcome to Breaking Barriers with Jack Campbell. I apologize for today's episode's late start, but I am very happy to welcome you to a full hour of our regular programming. For those of you who are just tuning in for the first time, Breaking Barriers broadcasts live on CITR 101.9 FM radio, which you are listening to right now from the traditional, unceded, and ancestral territory of the Musqueam First Nations people. On Breaking Barriers, every Thursday morning, we enjoy discussing music from across all genres and years of the 20th century and analyzing it from a compositional standpoint as well as a social context and finding thematic trends across all artists and compositional mediums and styles. Today, I'm continuing with the bi-weekly tradition of focusing on a specific year from the 20th century. And right now, we're going farther back in time than we ever have before, as today's episode focuses on the music of the year 1925. Now, this is the age of the great premieres of works by great composers. And one such premiere happened on an evening in 1925, where at the Paris Opera, on a concert, the orchestra premiered Stravinsky's Octet, which we will listen to later in the broadcast, and also performed Prokofiev's spectacular first violin concerto in D major. Right now, we're going to listen to the Berlin Philharmonic, conducted by Rostropovich, with Maxim Vengerov performing the second movement of Prokofiev's first violin concerto. Please enjoy. Thank you. For those of you who are just tuning in, that was Maxim Vengerov with the Berlin Philharmonic, conducted by Mislav Rostropovich, performing the second movement of Prokofiev's First Violin Concerto. If you're just tuning in, welcome to CITR 101.9 FM radio. My name is Jack Campbell, and you're listening to Breaking Barriers with Jack Campbell, broadcasting live from the traditional, unceded, and ancestral territory of the Musqueam First Nations people. And we are focusing on 1923 in music today. And as I said before we listened to that track, that was premiered at the same concert in which Stravinsky's Wind Octet was premiered in 1923. Stravinsky's Wind Octet now being considered one of the most contrapuntally and harmonically and tamburally not only sophisticated but revolutionary works in the 20th century canon and in Stravinsky's Auvers. And sort of, well, I guess you could say it was a key moment in terms of how composers and audiences approached, listened to, and wrote for wood instruments. I'd now like to play for you the wind section of the Boston Symphony Orchestra in 1947, conducted by Leonard Bernstein, performing the first movement of Stravinsky's Octet for wind instruments. Please enjoy. Thank you. That was Igor Stravinsky's Octet for Wind Instruments, performed by Leonard Bernstein as conductor with musicians of the Boston Symphony Orchestra in recording from 1947. And in conjunction with our theme of the music of 1923 today, that piece received its first performance in 1923 at the Paris Opera. And what a revolutionary and important work it was. Now, in traditional Breaking Barriers style, so far we've only listened to what was considered the avant-garde classical music of the time. And it's interesting to think of how revolutionary and harmonically advanced and compositionally strange that piece of Stravinsky's would have been at the time. And now when we hear it, it is accessible, and those sound languages are within our ears and don't cause us to riot and question the sanity of Stravinsky as a composer. Now, of course, at that time, perhaps the most exciting development in music was the emergence of popular styles. And these were rooted in traditions that had been around for centuries, but the ability to record them and to have that music in one's home and how it fitted in with the changing landscapes of, in this particular style, North American culture and the oppression that the African American community and other communities of color faced and still face to this day in large metropolises and in the laws of government was often reflected in the blues being a cultural form with which to reflect cultural pride and tradition, and also societal injustice. And perhaps the 20s is most synonymous with the birth of blues and jazz, not to say that they had been born for the first time, because they'd been around for decades and centuries, but the birth of their awareness in the general global popular mindset. And one person who certainly helped spread that awareness was Bessie Smith, the queen of the blues, the most popular female blues singer of the early 1900s, and herself, an African-American queer woman. And her story is that of legend. I think she's one of the most incredible creative figures of the 20th century. And what a force, and what an incredible, incredible majestic presence and woman with a voice that just can absolutely shatter and melt and charm your heart all at once. Here's her recording of Downhearted Blues, the original 78 RPM recording that has been remastered and adapted to digital formats. Downhearted Blues was her first major song and the hit that she is still perhaps most remembered by. And in this recording, you can hear the crackle of the old recording technology and you feel as if you're in the room with her. And for me, this song conjures up certain imagery and certain sensations and certain feelings, and it lets your imagination run wild with it. And please enjoy these couple minutes of heaven. Downhearted Blues, Bessie Smith.
I'm so disgusted. Oh.
Once again, that was Bessie Smith, the Queen of the Blues, with Downhearted Blues. And we'll be back with more music on this episode of Breaking Barriers with Jack Campbell on Thursday morning after this short commercial break.
Are you looking for ways to be a part of the community through low-stakes opportunities like volunteering? What about making friends that are really cool or have some common interests? Well, I'm here to tell you that at CITR, you can come volunteer at Volunteer Wednesdays, happening every other Wednesday from 12 to 3 with a really fun activity each time, like making signs or button making. Not only is it a great break from outside stress, but a great opportunity to be a part of the community. For more information, you can visit CITR's Instagram page at CITR and Discorder.
Are you tired of Big Brother bookstores trying to sell you some billionaire's favorite book or Heather's top picks? Then you should check out Vancouver Books. Vancouver Books is a new online family-run bookstore. A portion of their profits go to First Nations reconciliation and environmental projects in British Columbia. They provide their customers with the most interesting books in fine arts, signed first editions, First Nations photography, fine ancient books, occult, and so much more. They also provide carbon-free delivery to anywhere in the Vancouver area. So go to www.vancouverbooks.ca to check out Vancouver Books today. That's www.vancouverbooks.ca.
Get ready, Vancouver! Happy Land Festival is back! A fully inclusive Pride. Get ready, Vancouver! Happy Land Festival is back! A fully inclusive Pride celebration. Sunday, August 6th at the PNE Amphitheater and Playland. Enjoy concerts, thrill rides, food trucks, and festival attractions at this one-of-a-kind event with performances by Trixie Mattel, Pablo Vitar, Alaska, and more. Happy Land, August 6th at the PNE Amphitheater and Playland. Get your ticket now at happylandfest.ca.
Old or New Testament?
I think the New Testament.
The question is, Pilate. Remember Pilate from the New Testament?
What's this Pilate? He fiddled well.
Yeah, no, well, just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilate want Jesus to be crucified?
Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, tune in every Friday afternoon, 3:30 to the Night Watch Show on Sunday.
Well, find a good church. It'll help you.
For those of you who are just tuning in, welcome to CITR 101.9 FM radio, broadcasting live from the traditional, unceded, and ancestral territory of the Musqueam people. My name is Jack Campbell, and you're listening to Breaking Barriers with Jack Campbell live Thursdays at 10 a.m. Today is our bi-weekly episode centering on a particular year of the 20th century. Today, talking about 1923. We just heard some wonderful music by Bessie Smith. And now we shift back to the realm of the avant-garde classical and perhaps some of what was the most avant-garde at the time. We're about to hear Glenn Gould perform Schoenberg's Suite for piano. And this is a prime example of Schoenberg's 12-tone technique as well as his foundation in the grand Austro-Germanic European classical tradition and his scholarly erudite approach to form, counterpoint, and harmonic structure while using his revolutionary language. Please enjoy this marvelous recording.
Thank you. Thank you.
This is CITR 101.9 FM Radio, and you just finished listening to the first two movements of Arnold Schoenberg's Suite for Piano, performed by Glenn Gould. Now we change tune, no pun intended, and move toward the North American continent. And earlier in this episode, exploring the music of 1923, we explored the music of the blues tradition. Well, here's music that is very much rooted in the blues tradition, but has a more celebratory and harmonically complex atmosphere. Of course, no musician of the early 20th century is as known or as important as Louis Armstrong. And he became known through his work originally in the New Orleans band of King Oliver. We're now going to listen to two tracks from 1923, one of the King Oliver Creole Jazz Band without Louis Armstrong, and one with. And you can see the difference in the sound of the band, a marvelous band indeed. And then Stachimo's brilliance on the trumpet becomes very apparent. We'll start with the King Oliver Creole Jazz Band's High Society, this not including Louis, but the most marvelous, romping, delightful, spirited track that makes anyone feel joy and celebration. That was the King Oliver Creole Jazz Band performing High Society. And now I'd like to move to hearing the same band featuring Louis Armstrong from the same year performing Dippermouth Blues featuring Louis Armstrong on second cornet.
Thank you.
For those of you who are just tuning in, welcome to Breaking Barriers with Jack Campbell on CITR 101.9 FM radio, live Thursdays at 10 a.m. Today's theme is we're focusing on the year 1923 in music, and you just heard Louis Armstrong playing second cornet with King Oliver's Creole Jazz Band. What an amazing track. That was Dippermouth Blues. Now we're moving toward the avant-garde classical medium again, and today seems to be a good day for octets, because earlier we heard the work of Stravinsky, his woodwind octet that was premiered in 1923, and now we move to a piece of Edgar Varèse's called Octandre, which was written in 1923. This is a most fascinating sonic combination, as it's scored for piccolo and slash flute, oboe, B-flat clarinet and E-flat clarinet, French horn, bassoon, a C trumpet, a trombone, and a contrabass, making for a very interesting sonic timbre. And I could try and explain this with as much musical jargon and adjectives as imaginable, but I think it's one of those works you sort of need to hear for yourself. So here is Edgar Varèse's Octandre. Thank you. Well, everyone, that was Edgar Varese's Octandre, and that piece was written in 1923, and what a piece it was. And it, to me, it very much beckons toward the harmonic and melodic and timbral content that was to dominate the 20th century. And when you think of so many composers that came after, such as Brian Ferneyhough or Morton Feldman, or even popular music composers like Frank Zappa, Varese's influence is just so omnipresent and so strongly felt and so very important. Thank you so much for listening to Breaking Barriers on CITR 101.9 FM radio, broadcasting live from the traditional, unceded, and ancestral territory of the Musqueam First Nations people. Today's episode has been all about 1923 across genres of music, thinking about them from different angles and perspectives. I very much enjoyed this episode, and I hope you all have a wonderful day, and I will see you next week. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.